We worship and we honor you. We thank you for your kindness. We thank you for your mercies. As we enter your word this morning, we enter into it with the reverence that it deserves, being fully conscious of the limitations of the human mind, to be able to deliver as well as to receive the infinite wisdom of God that is compressed in this written word. And therefore, we need your help to help us to unfold it, to unzip it. And therefore, I pray for fresh unction and anointing from heaven, firstly upon my heart and my lips, that I might speak indeed as I should, as an oracle of God. Secondly, upon the ears and the hearts of everyone that will hear me, those who are physically present, those who will be hearing me remotely, electronically. This word will have free course, my Father, from you, through me, to the people, to do an internal, an eternal work in each of our hearts, including my own, causing our wills to become more humble, our minds to be more enlightened with revelation knowledge, and our emotions to become more controlled by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Father, I pray as I speak, the power of the Spirit of God be released in more than sufficient measure to follow these words wherever they are heard and released in all the earth. Power that will heal, power that will deliver, power that will break yokes, power that will free men so that they will become doers of the things which they hear and not hearers only. We further pray for mercy to be faithful in the delivery of the word, that I will do it with precision, redeem the time, and say only what you want me to say. Bring out of the treasure of this word things new and old, indeed as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And all those in agreement with that prayer, receiving the blessing in their individual life, said, Amen. We're going to continue and study and hopefully finish our study in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, which is the end of the last chapter of 1 Corinthians today. In our last lesson, we, I believe, stopped in verse 13 and 14, where Paul was exhorting them and said, let all your things be done with love. Now, that statement is a very simple statement on the surface, but it connotes deep spiritual detail. To do all things with love is to do all things the way God would do them in every situation. Because what love is, as we have defined, is that it is having the wisdom to discern what God will do, the compassion to feel what God is feeling in every situation, and then the power, the divine enablement to do what God would do. So to do all things with love, you have to have, to use a present-day computer expression, in real time. You know, you have to have the wisdom of God, the compassion of God, the power of God flowing into your soul and into your body. Your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. And of course, your body is obvious, your physical body. And so that God can then operate through that, through your soul and body, and then manifest his love. And practically, that's how to do all things with love. And the agency through which this is accomplished is the word and prayer. You put the word of God in your heart, and then you pray in the Spirit, and then the Holy Spirit in real time, in all your different activities during the day, he'll be, you know, from the store of the word of God in your heart, he will give the necessary wisdom in each situation. He'll release the compassion in that situation. He will release the power in that situation, so that minute by minute, hour by hour, during the course of each day, in all situations, you will be doing all things with love. And that really is the technical, if you can use that expression, breakdown of how that scripture is to be implemented. So just simply reading and saying, let all your things be done with charity. You know, sadly, you know, over the years, we've seen love as just some emotional, feeling that you have towards someone. So when it says, let all things don't love you feel, or just, you know, just be nice to everybody, it includes that certainly, but it's much more comprehensive than that. It's not just an emotional, nice feeling towards people that makes you do nice things to them. It certainly includes that, but it's much more encompassing than that, because it involves these three factors which I have mentioned: the wisdom of God, the compassion of God, and the power of God. And those things are only available through the agencies of the Word of God, as administered and enlightened by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's why we need, there is no shortcut. I've come to see this over the years, you know, the Word and the Spirit. And it's a, the Apostle Paul uses an expression in one of the epistles, I believe it's in Philippians, in chapter 1 or 2, somewhere in there. He says, the supply of the Spirit. I like that word because find that scripture for me. I think it's Philippians 1. It's either 1 or 2. I think it's 1. You know, about verse 23 or something like that. 24, somewhere there. You know, he says, you know, I trust God for the supply of the Spirit. The power of the Holy Spirit. Now, let me say something here that is very important for most. They still haven't found it. The supply, just put supply in your this thing and go to Philippians, it'll bring it out. Good. Right. Yeah. It's verse 19. It says, I know that this, everybody open your mouth, shall turn to my salvation through your what? Prayer and the what? Supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Right now, at the moment, we're having a slight fuel shortage. So we can appreciate this now. We're talking about supply. So, you know, you wanted to supply fuel for your car, you know. In the same way, the Holy Spirit, now understand this, is a person, but he supplies power. Now, there is a distinction, a slight distinction between the person of the Spirit and the power of the Spirit. The power of the Spirit is a power. It's not a personality, but it comes from the personality or the person of the Holy Spirit. So when you pray, what happens is that the Holy Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit, now supplies his power into your system, which comprises of your spirit, your soul, and your body. So you need to do all things with love, you need a constant supply. And that's why this scripture came to my heart. Constant supply of the Spirit. And that's why it's a constant flow. You know, oftentimes we think in absolutes in our Christian lives, you know, and really it's a myopic, short-sighted, and childish understanding. These things don't happen in absolutes, they're relative. In other words, it's a thing that, you know, so I can have the supply in the afternoon, not have it in the evening. That's why I must keep my connection with God intact. And that's why I pray in the mornings. Maybe I should say something about that. You know, in recent times, my wife has been sharing with us about becoming a tithe. You know, all the firstborn of Israel were dedicated unto the Lord, like the Lord Jesus Christ. Everybody who was a firstborn male was given to the Lord, and in a sense is a tithe, you know, to the Lord. And then when that tithe is given, then they can become a blessing to the whole nation. Now, it's a concept I've taught over the years. I call it spiritual time management. Ideally, now we don't get there overnight. You grow into it. You should tithe your time. When you tithe your time and you pray, concentrated prayer in the mornings. You pray for love. You pray to perfect the love of God, to keep yourself in the love of God. You pray for the life of God. Then you pray in the Spirit with all kinds of prayer. And you tithe your time. You know what you actually literally do? You do what Malachi says, but now it's not in the financial realm only. Of course, it includes the financial realm, but it goes far beyond that. It opens the windows of heaven, so there's a constant supply of the Spirit for that day. It's a constant supply, or what we call living under an open heaven. When you pray, you see, the reason why the supply of the Spirit in many of our lives is very limited, and many times it doesn't last a long time, is because the heavens are not open. And the reason why the heavens are not open is because we didn't pay the tithe. Just like the financial, if you don't pay your tithe, the windows of heaven will not be open. Spiritually, if you don't pay your tithe in prayer, then the windows of heaven over your life are not as open as they should be, and therefore it restricts the supply of the Spirit in your life. And consequently, the consequence of that is that you cannot do all things with love. You may do some things with love, you may do a few things with love, but you may not necessarily be able to do all things with love. So to do all things with love, you need that supply. And that's where this question of covering also comes in. For younger Christians who can't pray that much, when they are under the covering of spiritual leaders who do, then those leaders, going back to what Mommy has been teaching us, now act as a tithe. And then they open the heavens for the others. And then the people, even though they may not have done it, can enjoy that open heaven under the covering of a spiritual leadership that has paid the tithe. And they themselves have become a tithe. So they now open the windows of heaven, as it were, to actuate, to allow a flow of the supply of the Spirit. And when the supply of the Spirit is in sufficient measure, wisdom, compassion, power will always be there in every situation. So you will be able to respond and act and feel. And that's a beautiful one. You will feel what God is feeling. Because compassion is actually feeling what God is feeling at each point in time in each situation. The way God feels in one situation is different from the way He feels in another situation. And one of the reasons for that is this. He has wisdom. You see, you just see the surface of a situation, but God sees beyond what you see on the surface. And it is what God sees beyond that determines how He feels about it. And that's why if you just base what you feel on what you see, you can be misled. And that's why the Bible says in one place where it talks about, judge not according to appearance. You can't judge according to appearance. You have to judge righteous judgment. But how do you judge righteous judgment? You have to see beyond the physical and look into the heart and look into the spiritual configuration of that particular situation and circumstance to arrive at an accurate assessment of what is actually happening. And that will now determine how you feel about it. And that's why wisdom is the principal thing. So feeling follows wisdom. Wisdom does not follow feeling. The thing that is the thing that's ahead is the wisdom of God and love of God. Then the wisdom of God will now dictate the compassion of God, how He feels about it. And that will now dictate the power of God that is released. That's the correct order. So that's a very, by the help of the Holy Spirit, a very comprehensive and concise understanding of how to do all, not some things, all things. It says, let all your things be done with charity. And it's instructive to note that Paul says this after he's given them one of the greatest exposés on the love of God in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Remember, there's a continuous letter. So he had already explained to them what love was. Interestingly, it's coming back to me now. Paul took a lot of time. He explained to them, he said, concerning spiritual things, I don't want you to be ignorant. So explain to them about the body of Christ and the complexity of members of the body. And, you know, then he talked about the gifts of the Spirit. Then he now talked about love, how the love of God, is the more excellent way to have the gifts of the Spirit in operation. And then he now goes to the 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and talks about the vital importance of praying in tongues. It is with all that background, he now says, do all things with love. I've already told you what it takes to walk in love. It's going to take, you know, the wisdom of God. It's going to take the power of God. It's going to take the compassion of God. You know, the character of God as explained in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. You know, and I've showed you how to pray in tongues. I've shown you, you know, so with all of these things, with the tongues, with the word, with the holy power, the Holy Spirit, you can now do all things with love. This command would probably not have been appropriate if he had not given all that background of the Holy Spirit, of tongues, you know, of the love of God and what it is in action in the characteristics. Call it the characteristics of divine love, patient, kind, you know, not envious, not doesn't boil over with jealousy, you know, forgives, you know, doesn't hold on to grudges and all of that, you know, and all of that is all in the background when he says this, you know, and the two verses 13 and 14 go hand in hand. That says, watch ye, or be on your guard spiritually. And that's how you do, you know, by watching and praying. Always, we could say it like that. The same thing, you know, in essence. Stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men. Be brave. Be strong. Be courageous. Be strong in the things of the Spirit. Be strong in the Lord. And then you can do all things with charity. You can't take verse 14 without the preamble of verse 13. Because if you don't watch, if you're not strong in the Spirit, you certainly cannot do all things with love. Not possible. The only way you can do all things by love is by being strong in the Spirit. And the way you're strong in the Spirit is by watching and praying always, so there's a constant supply. There's a constant supply of the power of the Holy Spirit, you know, and the Word of God, you know, in your heart. And that's why two things you need to do daily. You do yourself an injustice if you don't do these things. If you don't, let me, a better word is the word practice. I prefer the word practice, the word do, because practice gives room for our human failings and for growth and development. Do is a little bit, you know, the actual word in the scriptures, you know, God it takes about practice, you know. It says keep. In other places, it says keep. In places, it says do. What it just means is practice. You know, let these things be the things that you exercise yourself in on a daily basis. You need to put the Word of God in your heart daily. Practice that, because it is from that store the Holy Ghost is going to give you the wisdom of what you need. The Word of God is like food. The fact that you ate yesterday doesn't stop. That's not going to say you're going to eat today, because the food of yesterday was used for the strength of yesterday and the challenges of yesterday. You're going to have new challenges today. So that's why it says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that cometh out of the mouth of God. You have to see reading your Bible beyond just marking a register or doing something to impress a pastor or impress somebody. Your very life depends on it. You feed on the Word in exactly the same way you feed on physical food. A person that is nutritionally deficient is going to have serious physical problems. He's going to have problem of strength. He's going to have problem of internal growth. He's going to have problems even in his brain. Even your brain is a wonderful machine, you know, that God created. You need food. You need glucose. You need, it needs power. It needs sugar for the brain. The doctors will tell you, you know, if you stop the blood supply to the brain, you know, after a while, it'll pack up. Spiritually, it's the same, you know, the parallels between the spiritual and the physical are so great. If you don't feed on the Word, you know, if you don't read your Bible, I'm not talking about just, you know, just reading one verse. You really can't get much from that, you know. That's why God gave us that guideline some years ago. I call it balanced Bible reading. A little bit from Proverbs, a little bit from Psalm, a little bit from the New Testament, a little bit from the Old Testament, a little bit from, you know, the Gospels. So it's a balanced nutritional thing. From that store, and you read it with your heart, you know, understanding the spirit behind what the Holy Ghost is saying. And that's why we call it in the old SUD, we call it quiet time. What do we mean quiet? You want to, when you read the Bible, you're not just reading it, you know, like I've said so many times, for information. You already know the letter of the Bible. If by the time you read the Bible two or three times, you know, and you've been a Christian for some years, you already know, if somebody quotes the scripture, you already know mentally what that scripture says. That's not the reason why you're reading your Bible. You're reading your Bible to get the spirit of scripture. So when I'm reading a portion of scripture, I'm interacting in my heart with the Holy Spirit to find out what is the lesson, what is the spirit, what is God ministering to me through this portion of scripture for today. It may not be the same thing. You can read the same portion of scripture and get a different message. Or a different, instruction is the better word, you know, or inspiration from that scripture, because the situation you are facing now is different. Same scripture, but it will speak to you in a different way because of what you are facing. That's why the Word of God is living. It's not a dead letter. It is living, and it is powerful, and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. So when you feed on the Word, so when you don't play with reading your Bible. When you get up in the morning, you know, you pray, you know, then you pray in the Spirit, then you now read your Bible in the light of the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, but let it be concentrated. And very important, be quiet. So that you can don't just read it like a parrot. You know, I finished my Bible reading. You know, you read. And that's why the way we've got helped us to do it, we've broken up into little bits, you know, 10 verses, 15 verses, 10 verses, 15 verses, you know, so small sections like that. And then you read it, and there's a, you know, and then there's a store in your heart. So when you now go out during the day, you know, and you face a situation, it is out of that store. Says he will put you into remembrance. The Holy Spirit will now draw from that storehouse. He will draw the wisdom that you need to meet that particular challenge, you know, in that particular situation, so you can walk in love. So you will then do all things with charity, the Word and the Spirit. There is no shortcut to brethren. The Word, Jesus said, you err because you know not the scriptures nor the power of God. Jesus operated in exactly the same way. He knew his Bible. He fed on the Word. Even when he was a young boy in Nazareth, he says, as was his custom, he went into the synagogue. In those days, they didn't have individual, they couldn't afford, you know, Jesus came from a middle class family. Not all of them could afford a personal Bible in the house, because in those days they were written, you know, they were handwritten in scrolls. To have a whole Bible in your house, it would probably be this big, you know, and take a lot of space, because they were all scrolls, you know. Isaiah alone, only God knows how big it would be, you know. By the time you have Genesis, Isaiah, and all of those, you know, only very rich people had the complete scripture. So that's why everybody went to the synagogue, you know, on Saturday back in those days, and they would read. Somebody would get up and says, and they get up and he will read. Then the rabbi will now come, and he will then expatiate, preach on what was read. That's what they will feed on until the next Sabbath. That's what Jesus. But we are so privileged. May God have mercy on us to appreciate. We are so, you have the whole thing. Now we even have iPad. The whole, I must have about 20 translations. just in one small thing like this. I have it on my phone. I have it, you know, on my iPad. Sometimes when I'm doing my Bible reading, God is having me emphasize this morning because it's so important. You know, when I'm reading on my iPad, maybe in the King James, then someone would all flash to me. I'll bring out my iPhone and then look at the same thing inside the Amplified because I want to look at them simultaneously. Now, of course, I can switch, you know, on my iPad from one translation to the other. But sometimes I just want to keep that one there because there's a thought I don't want to lose. Then he gives me another thought and I pick it up. And then I take another device, you know, that will have that. I have my Bible on all my phones. All my phones have a Bible on them. My wife too, you know, we have our Bibles on all. So no matter what is happening, just bring it out. You know, that's the whole essence. So you keep the word. So you're full of the word. The Bible says Stephen, who was full of faith and power. He was full. He said they could not resist the wisdom with which he spoke. Because he was full of the word. You need to be full. Whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. There is no perfection of love without the word. It ain't going to happen. So we need to keep the word and the spirit. You know, pray a lot in the spirit. When you pray in the spirit, then the word of God, you know, then the Holy Spirit can then now interact with the word of God inside you. The two of them, the word and spirit, they will operate together. Then he'll put you into remembrance and then he'll help you to apply the word. So much for that. So let all things, everybody say, let all your things. I didn't hear you. I did not hear you. Let some of your things. Let a few of your things. Let your convenient things. Let all. Turn to your neighbor, say, let all. Let all your things be done with love. There is no, you know, it doesn't give you any room for maneuver. Incidentally, it's not a suggestion. It's a command. Hello, somebody. I didn't hear you. Verse 15. I beseech you, brethren, you know the house of Stephanas. That is the first fruits of Achaia, that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. That you submit yourselves. I didn't hear you. You know, submission is a word Christians don't like. Hey, you see that word? They try to avoid it. You know, yeah, but we can't avoid it because in the Bible, hello somebody. That you submit yourselves unto such. And to everyone that helpeth with us and laboreth. We can do another camp meeting on these two verses. You know, Paul was writing a letter and he was giving them instructions. Then he now said, look, there are some people, I'm not there. You see that in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. He says, I'm not with you, you know, but I'm with you in spirit. Now, I said, now, the house of Stephanas, he's very particular, not just anybody. He said, who are the first? These are the people who got born again first under my ministry. That's why I call them first fruits. He said, now, I want you to submit your, they're addicted. I like the word addiction. We use it negatively today, talk about drug addicts. You know, which is a negative connotation. But the word addiction is not a bad word if you're addicted to a good thing. Hello, somebody. You know, I'll tell you a few things you should be addicted to. You should be addicted to the life of God. You should be addicted to prayer. You should be addicted to the word. And you should be addicted to the work of the ministry. Hallelujah. Amen. You should be addicted. Addicted means if you haven't got your fix, I can tell you from personal experience, I personally as a person am addicted to the word, I'm addicted to the life of God, and I've been for years. If I haven't prayed for some hours, I start behaving like a junkie. You know, I'm joking, you know. But you know, I become, you know, things aren't just, you know, you become a little bit I don't know the word to use, you know, you become agitated, you know, and then I prayed, and hey, I get my fix, I'm fine. Really, because the thing that keeps you fine is the word of God. So when you're without it for some time, you should be agitated. You should be uncomfortable. Thank you, darling. You know, so you have to understand that. So these guys were not only addicted, they were also addicted to the work of the ministry. These guys served Paul day and night when Paul was there in Corinth. So he said, now, these are the kind of people you submit yourself to. Then he didn't limit them, and he said, and to people that are like them, and everyone that laboreth. Talking about people who are intercessors. Labor there isn't just physical. It includes the physical, but it's not just physical. You know, Bible says Epaphras, who laboreth for you fervently in prayers. So he's talking about these are the kind of people that you submit yourselves to. You submit the household of Stephanus, you know, and such like, and everyone that laboreth with us. He said, submit yourselves to them. This issue of submission is a critical issue for us as Christians. Sadly and regrettably, it is not properly taught or nor emphasized in the church. Today, in the body of Christ, generally speaking, this is not only true in Nigeria, it's true everywhere, it's true in America. There's this independent streak and spirit, and it's not from God. Because God, even the three persons of the Godhead, are submitted one to another. God is not independent. The persons of the Godhead are interdependent. There's a difference between interdependence means being dependent. When one person is dependent on a group of other people, that's why I call it interdependence. Independence is wanting to be not dependent on anybody. You are not an island. Even the persons of the Godhead are not an island. The Father is interdependent on the Son and the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is interdependent on the Son and the Father. The Son is interdependent on the Father and the Holy Spirit. You know, and the Father on the Holy Spirit and the Son. They never operate independently. Who are you? Who are you? And it's a big question, you know, who are we? Who are you? Who am I? To think I can operate independently when God himself does not operate independently. God never does anything without consultation. Never. No one person of the Godhead does anything independent of the other two. You first of all consult, and that's why they have the word. That's why we all have the written word. The written word is the constitution of the kingdom. So even the persons of the Godhead are subject to the word. Hello, somebody. That's why you can stake your life on it. Hallelujah. Say, thy word, you know, oh Lord, you know, you have magnified your word above your name. He says, his word, he will not alter, his covenant, he will not break. God himself is subject to his word. And he's also subject to the other persons of the Godhead. I know God the Father is overall, you know, as far as authority is concerned, God the Son is subject to it. But God the Father himself is not a tyrant. He just can't do anything he likes. Hello, somebody. The Bible says, the Holy Ghost will not speak of himself, but he will speak what he has heard. I said all that to say this. We shouldn't think submission is a terrible thing, because it's what part of what God is. God himself is submitted. Are you listening to me? And I want you to know something. You're not going to go very far in Christianity if you're not submitted. You know why? Grace comes through humility. And this whole thing works by grace. God gives grace to the humble, but he resists the proud. When you're submitted, you open the door. I like one expression my wife has used over the years, to an open womb. You know, you're opening the door to the mercy and the grace of God in your life so that you can get the necessary strength, nutrition, power that you're going to need to be able to face the challenges you're going to face. When you're not submitted, you restrict that thing. And then you're not able to get the grace to do what you should do. You cannot even prayer requires submission. Nobody prays in isolation, especially the spirit. Hello, somebody. Even prayer, you're going to need people who are praying along with you. You have people in, you know, standing in rank, but hallelujah, who are strengthening you. Do you know that even coming to church this Sunday is a part of submission? You know why? The Bible says you should not forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Much the more so as the day approaches. So when you come to church, what are you doing? You're submitting to that word. And when you submit to that word, you know there's something you are getting. There is a nutrition you get just because you are here, which you will not get if you are home. I know there's no distance in the spirit realm, but the God is watching over his that word to perform it. You know, so when you come and you submit to that word, there is a strengthening, a nutrition, a ministration that you get simply because you came. When we worship, we're going to do that in a few minutes' time. When we all worship God and we praise God together, you know, the Bible says God inhabits the praise of his people. When that presence of God comes down, there's a strengthening, a nourishment, an enablement that comes to you simply because you're in that group. Christians who don't go to church regularly and do not, they don't have any church, they don't have any pastor, they're not submitted to anybody, they will be lean. Because they're going to be missing out on an essential part of spiritual nutrition on a regular basis. You know, if you miss once, but it's not your habit. Your habit is to come to church. You know, it's not going to affect you. But if you miss consistently, you know, and you're never in church, you know, you're never in prayer meetings and all that kind of thing, over time, it's going to send leanness to your soul. I'm not hearing any hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. You know, that's why I love what God led me to do when we started Scripture Pasture. I teach the Bible. So I am forced to teach everything. I can't run away, except I'm dishonest, and I'm not dishonest by the grace of God. I've renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, and I certainly do not walk in craftiness, neither do I handle the word of God deceitfully. And because of that, I am forced, to use that expression, you know, to teach the whole Bible. He says here, he says, I beseech you. These are the final instructions. He said a lot of revelation. He said gifts of the Spirit. He's talked a lot about prayer, praying in tongues, everything. And he said, now I beseech you, brethren. You know the house of Stephanas. That's the first fruits of a chair. That they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. You submit yourselves to such. And then he didn't restrict it to them. He said, and people who are like that, and all those who labor with us. In other words, anybody who is involved in the ministry. Let's get practical. You know, like for example, in this church now, by the grace of God, I'm senior pastor, mommy, you know, Pastor Boyega, and all the pastors, all the intercessors, all the people who are all working with us. You submit to all of them. Everybody. All them that labor with us. So if I'm not somewhere and I send somebody maybe like Foundations of Faith class or whatever, you know, you submit to that person. Because he's laboring with me. I'm just making it practical. You know, so that when talk about submitting, he's talking about, you know, senior pastor, yes, but you know, a lot of people submit, I submit to pastor, but I don't submit to anybody else. Oh no, 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 no. That's not gonna work. Hello, somebody. Because the body, you see. So you submit to all such. Look at. Oh God, I thought I was going to finish today. Look at Hebrews chapter 13. I'm going to look at two verses there. Hebrews 13, and it's 7 and 17. I've put it in my this thing over the years. Here, He doesn't use the word submit. We're going to see it in verse 17. But the same, that's what I was talking about, right? When you read your Bible, you have to get the sense, what the Bible calls the spirit, not just the letter. What is the spirit? What is the essence of what God is saying in this verse or in this portion of verses? When you read your Bible every day, that's the question you should be asking yourself, so you can, the Holy Ghost can now minister unto you. So you're not just reading letter. The letter kills, the spirit gives life. Now, here it says, remember them. Let's read together. Remember. I didn't hear you. Remember. I did not hear you. Remember. I did not hear you. Remember. Which have the rule over you. Turn to your neighbor and say, there are people who have rule over you. Whether you like it. And so don't say, say it. Say whether you like it or not. There are people that God has put in rule over you. Now, what does a person who is in rule over you do? He rules. A ruler. A king. A person of authority. I didn't write these words. This is the less. This is the spirit of the scripture. There are people. He said God has set some in the church. They rule over you. Now they're not supposed to rule as like tyrants and all of that. But right on the other hand, you know, because there's a balance to all of these things, you know, they have been entrusted by God to rule over you. You know, another word says feed you. You know, another word says shepherd you. You know, what does that? What does a shepherd do? Go and look at the Fulani herdsmen. You have a rod. Is that not true? And when the cattle, you know, are on the road, you will see them, you know, doing like this. You know, so that they lead them to where they're going to eat. They're going to lead them away from traffic and cars and harm's way and all of that. Sometimes they have to pick them to put them in something. That's ruling. That's shepherding. And that is what a true pastor does. That's why the Greek word pastor is shepherd. He rules with the word of God. And that's why you see here on Sunday now today, you know what I've been doing? I've been doing like this. With the word, you know, doing like this about prayer, doing like this about reading your Bible, doing like this, you know, so those of you who are strained. That's what a good shepherd does. Now you have bad shepherds. You know why? Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. So it means that they are bad shepherds. The bad shepherds are hirelings. They're not interested in your spiritual welfare. They are only interested in your wool. They want to fleece you. And if sometimes kill you and eat you. Hello. So when they see the wolf coming, they don't fight. They don't lay their life down for you. Lay your life, lay whose life, lay life down for it. Who's going to lay down life for you? I want to enjoy life. Hello. So the sheep are there to feed me. The shepherd is fat. Enjoy alfa and sonra. That's what our people say in our language. That means the shepherd is getting fat and the sheep are getting lean. And it should not be so. Are you listening to me? The shepherd should be healthy. The sheep should be healthy. Are you listening to me? So, the shepherd, you know, you have the rule over you who have spoken unto you the word of God. So, he further defines them. They rule by the word of God that they speak. That's why, you know, the fivefold ministry, pastor, evangelist, you know, preacher, apostle, teacher, and so on and so forth. Whose faith follow? The word follow is the Greek word mimesis, from the where we get the English word mimic. That is, imitate them, not blindly, considering the end of their conduct. So, you want to follow somebody who is going somewhere. Don't follow somebody who doesn't know where he's going. I like the way Jesus said it, and this has been my principle over the years, and I also learned it from Kenneth Hagin. But let me say what Jesus said first. Jesus said, the scribes and the Pharisees, they sit in Moses' seat. Watch this. Therefore, whatever they tell you, do it, but don't do what they do. In other words, don't follow blindly. You know, if a person is a pastor or whatever position, if he's telling you something that is in the Bible, you have to do it. But you do not necessarily have to do what he is doing if he's not doing the right thing. That's why it says, considering the end of their conversation. I like the Bible. Thank God. Honey, thank God for the word. You know, if we didn't have the Bible, they would have deceived us. They would have kept us in bond. Thank God. The word gives us free. Makes us free. Thank God we know the Bible. So nobody can come here and just run rings around us. Hello, somebody. Hallelujah. Thank God for the word. For the entrance of his word gives light. And nobody's going to leave us in darkness. Are you listening? Yes, we follow, but we don't follow blindly. We consider the end of your conversation. So we look at the kind of life this person lived. You know, that's why when I talk about my own spiritual father, I talk about people like Papa Hagin, good example. I followed Ken Hagin all his life until he died, you know, for about 10, 12 years ago in 2003. Not one whiff of scandal. 60 years of ministry. Not a whiff. Nothing about adultery or anything like that, or money or anything negative. The only thing you can criticize Ken Hagin for is that he preached about faith. That's all right too. That's what they criticize Jesus for too. Are you listening to me? But when it comes to, you know, integrity and all of that, same with Brother Copeland, over the years, you know, those can be we follow. Oh, follow anybody. Now, I didn't say you shouldn't listen to them, for you have 10,000 instructors, but very few fathers. See, a father is the person you can follow his example. An instructor is the person you can hear what he says, but you can't follow his example. Are you listening to me? So, we follow, but we don't follow blindly. We follow, you know, responsibly. And that's why God gave us the Bible. And that's why, you know, yes, we listen to our pastors, but at the end of the day, we have to be like a Berean Christian who the Bible says these were more noble than the ones that were in Thessalonica, for they searched the scriptures daily, even though they respected Paul, to find out if these things are so. That's how you follow. If you listen to the man, then you go to the Bible, it's okay, then you follow. Hello, somebody. And follow their example, follow the way they live. Where did I learn praying in tongues for 1 hour? I followed Ken Hagin. It's not in the Bible, though. There's no chapter and verse that says if you pray 1 hour in tongues every day, it's not there. If you look for it, you will not find that scripture in the Bible. Hello? The only thing you will see in the Bible is that you should pray in tongues. You know, I thank my God, I speak in tongues more than you all. Then Jesus said to Peter, what could you not watch with me? He didn't even say pray, he said watch with me. So if you want to wiggle out of it by following the letter rather than the spirit, which many people have done and are still doing. You can say, we were talking to Peter, he wasn't talking to me. You know, and he didn't even say pray, he said you watch. Do you think he was telling him to watch television? Stupid fellow. Are you following what I'm trying to say? Yeah, that's a very good example of dishonesty of heart. That's a very good example of handling the word of God deceitfully. And that's what most people do with their Bible. They will see, they can see it, and then they will don't say, no, you know, I don't know, you know, that's not what it is. I had this terrible argument, you know, confrontation over the years. I've just left it now, and most people are coming to see that what I said, you know, years ago is true now. You know, I was praying in tongues for 1 hour. I don't pray in tongues for 1 hour. The Bible doesn't say that. It doesn't. The Spirit does. The spirit of the Bible says it. The letter may not. But if you read the Bible closely, you find out what he's saying. And I learned it by following a father. And he learned it by following a father. He learned it from Old Wigglesworth. You know, Wigglesworth said, I pray in tongues 1 hour every day. And he just picked it, started praying in tongues 1 hour every day. His life changed. Then, you know, Kenneth Copeland picked it. Then I picked it and many others. You know, just prior. He's, you know, I don't need any Bible chapter and verse. Because there's enough chapter and verse to support it. Are you listening to me? That's how you follow fathers. So I followed, I just copied them, just dubbed the whole thing. Amen. Ephesians 1, I prayed every day. You know, Colossians, even the one they didn't tell me, I put on top. The one where I don't get, then dash me. Amen. As they say. I all followed them. That's what the Bible is talking about. Now, verse 17, we'll close on that. Jesus help me. We'll take it from here in our next lesson. I thought I'll finish today, but it doesn't matter. It says, obey them. Obey them that have the rule over you. Let's all say it again together. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Give the Lord a clap offering. I'll take it up from here like next week. You know, you can bring your whole camp meeting on this. You know, that's why Paul ended that epistle with it. He said, look, you know, Stephanus and people like that, he said, you need to submit. Now, let me hit this. Holy Spirit, help me close. Submission is an attitude. Obedience is an act. I'm going to say it again. Everybody say, submission is an attitude. It's an internal attitude of the heart. And then, obedience is an external action to what was said. Now, this may sound paradoxical, but it is true. Do you know you can obey and not submit? You can just do it, sha. We're Yoruba people, you know, so, you know, in our language, that means do it just because they say you should do it. But inside, you're not happy and you don't like what they said and you're not submitted. You know why? God looks at the heart. Even if you have the external trappings of obedience. That's why you see you can find a lot of people who would do what God tells them to do on the surface. But the heart is not right. Typically Saul. You know, Saul did what the Bible said. He did what God said. He did it. Samuel said, go and fight Amalek and kill them. Because I remember what they did to you people when you came out of Egypt on the time of Moses. And he went. And he fought Amalek. And he killed them. But he did not do all that Samuel said. He said, kill everything. He reserved the king and a few things and said, he's going to use it for the Lord. So Saul went to Samuel and said, hey, I have obeyed God. I see that so often these days. You know, I've done what God has said. Are you sure? Then Samuel said, what meaneth this bleating in my ears? He said, thy servant just, you know, kept all of that. And Samuel answers him back in a way that if we said it today, people will say you are very vindictive. How can you say such a thing? This is such a good Christian. The man did everything you told him to do, you know, on the surface. And he said, obedience is better than sacrifice. Rebellion is as witchcraft. He said, why have you then, you know, disobeyed the word of the Lord? He said, no, I've not disobeyed the word. He said, you have.
And that's one of the characters that he will still be arguing. It will still be arguing, trying to justify itself and justify his disobedience. That is why submission is an internal attitude. And you know what God said? He said, it regrets me that I made Saul king. He said, because he has turned back from following me. This man who killed the Amalekites, this man who did all that, God was seeing the heart. He was doing all the outside things that they asked him to do. Saul was going to the temple. They didn't have a temple in those days. They had Shiloh. He was sacrificing animals. He was doing all the external trappings, but the heart was no longer. Saul did not have the same heart of submission he had at the beginning. You know, Saul was a very humble person in the beginning. He ran away when they wanted to make him king. He ran. He went and hide himself inside the hay. That's one reason why he was chosen even at that time. He had such a humble heart. And that's why the prophet said, when you are small in your own eyes. He was originally small in his eyes. Now when he had become king, and he was king for a few years, he's, you know, position has changed. Level don't change. Hello, somebody. So he was no longer small. He has now become a big man. You know, and he could now do and do undo. You know, and God said, it's not like that. It's not like that. So, what we need to understand from this is that submission is an attitude. And it's a thing you need to keep watch on. You know, make sure that attitude is right. What does it to submit? It means to, it's close to, it's very tied to humility. It means to agree to what God has said, even when you don't feel like it. You see, the question of submission doesn't come in until there's a contest, there's a clash. That's where submission is tested. It's tested when there is a clash between what you want to do or what you feel like doing and what God said through his oversight. It says, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourself. So you say X, they say, you do this. Say, I can't do that. I don't want to do that. And then, you know, usually it manifests in many forms. They get quiet. They get reticent. They move to the back of the church. They don't talk to anybody, you know. And the next thing you're going to hear is that there is no love in that church. Nobody likes me. No. You know what? I've been a pastor for 30 years. I've seen it. It's the same, you know. It's that wrong attitude that is manifesting. You know what a right, upright person would do? Come straight up to you. See, Pastor, you told me to do this. I don't feel like doing it, but the Bible says I should submit, and I just want to understand better. And then you explain to them and say, okay, and I'm going to do what you said because the Bible says so, and God will help me. That's better than a person who, inside their heart, rebels. And then, you just see them, you know. Person that used to come to you before, and you don't see them again. You know, from a distance. You know. And you know what happens? The grace of God on their life just gradually diminishes. It just gradually tapers and gets smaller and smaller and smaller. And then what he could do before, he finds it difficult to do. The prayer that the guy was praying before, and he was one of the person, I can't pray again. I don't even believe in all those kind of things again. That prayer is just too hard. The same person who used to pray before. You know why? The grace had diminished. Because the heart had skewed. So that's why that what Paul said is very important. He said, you know, obey them and submit to both of them. It's not enough just to obey externally, like Martha and do a lot of nice physical things, you know, but inside the heart, is it Mary has chosen that good part, you know, have the, so you obey and you submit, both of them together. When the two of them are there together, it will guarantee the mercy and the grace upon your life, and so that God can take you onto a higher level. Because the way the Bible says, Jesus said it this way, he said, if you humble yourself, you say you'll be exalted. How many want to be exalted here? Now, don't get humble and say you don't want to be exalted. That's another lie. You know? But the way to exalt is to submit. The way in the kingdom, the way up is down. Let us pray. Talk to God. Okay. Let's just look at it. Look at the Amplified. Mommy just gave me a suggestion just before we pray. The Amplified of Hebrews 13. And look at verse 17. The Amplified. Thank you, darling. It says, obey. I didn't hear you. Ah, it's really, really good. Obey your spiritual leaders and submit to them continually. I didn't hear you. Occasionally. When you feel like it. When they say what you like. Continually recognizing their authority over you. For they are constantly keeping watch over your souls and guarding your spiritual welfare as men who will have to render account of their trust. Do your part. Turn to your neighbor, say, do your part. Do your part to let them do this with what? Gladness. And not with sighing and groaning, for that would not be profitable to you either. If your pastor is sighing over you, he will pray for you because God told him to. But you are not going to get as much as you will get if you are doing it properly. Because the joy of the Lord is his strength. So if he's getting joy from you, he can pray for you with more strength. If he's doing it with grief, he will do it, but it will not be as effective as he would have done it if he did it with joy. Let us pray. For you know the household of Stephanas. And all them that have labored, said, so recognize them, submit yourself unto such, and to all them that labor. Because it's the key, it's a major key to the continual supply of the grace and the mercy of God in sufficient measure into your heart, into your life, into your, you know, body, into your circumstances, so you can do what God wants you. So you know, it will be profitable for you. When you don't do it, you lose some of your spiritual profit, according to the scripture. Talk to God. See, this is the whole essence of our reading the Bible, preaching the Bible, so we can get the spirit of what God is saying. And then that spirit can minister to our hearts, so that our hearts can then respond and submit and obey the spirit of what the scripture is saying. Then we can profit. See, if I come to church and nothing goes to my heart, then I've just gone. It's not like going to a social club. Church isn't just a place of spiritual entertainment and activity. It's a place of ministration of the spirit. And that's what God's helped us to do here this morning. You know, on bended knees we come, with a humble heart we come, bowing down before your holy.
worship you. Worship you in spirit. We worship you in truth. Make our lives a holy praise unto you. On bended knees we come. Raise the other hand to God. The apostle, by the Holy Spirit, is concluding this letter, very important letter, one of the most informative letters in the New Testament, about all the things of the Spirit, love, tongues, the gifts of the Spirit, the body of Christ, marriage. There's so much in 1 Corinthians. And he ends it saying, submit. Because it's the key that will give so you can benefit from everything. Raise that hand. We're going to pray in a minute, but I want you as an individual to just do a quick check. This is continually. That amplified. It's continually. So it's not a thing you just do once. It's a thing you continue to do. And that's why the Bible says, keep your heart with all diligence. So you keep checking yourself. Make sure that attitude is right. Keep checking it. Keep that attitude right. Towards God, towards your oversight, towards their assistants and the people who are working with them, all them that labor. You know, it's not just a one-man thing. It's a system thing. Now check that. And then we're going to pray. We worship you in spirit. We worship you in truth.
Make
our lives a holy praise unto you. Say, Heavenly Father, I confess our sins and so clean with the blood. In Jesus' name, we have life. Heavenly Father, Lord, have mercy on us as we pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word that has come to me today. reminding me of the importance of doing all things with love and of submitting to those in authority that over me, that have rule over me, that speak to me the word of God, that labor over me in the spirit. Oh my God. Oh my God. I thank you for putting me into remembrance of this truth. As an act of my will, I continually choose to fear you and to submit to the spiritual authority that you have put over me, and to submit one to another in all things, to have an attitude of humility, an attitude of submission, and to maintain this attitude so that your mercy and your grace will continually flow to me in sufficient measure so that I will profit spiritually. In Jesus' name. Nikatolo matanga, likatolo mashali kato fredelesk, no fridio, tola mangatuski fride, nikatolo matu frenengesk, sa friketolo matolo matulu freshe, lumber kan tu frini, lumber kan tolo matulo matu fridu fridu freshika, kulo matulo 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 lumber tu fridu freshika kulo, tolo matulo lumber tu fridu fridu freshe. Tolom tu fridu fridu freshin karakuma. Tolom tu fridu fridu freshin. Tolom ando kama tolom tu fridu fridu fresha. Amba kama tu freshi. Tu fridu freshin garas. Amba kama tolom tu fre. Amba kama tolom tu fridu freshi. Tolom ngar tolom tolom sto fre. Lopre. Lamba tos. Se fridi. Amba kama tolom aras. Tolom redes. Ni fridi limias. Chekaturos. Ni fridingas. Lik tolomaras. Nekatufris, Zufridis, Nikataris, Neskufris, Lombrideles, Shalikis, Nofridilis, Tufridis, Nofridilis, Nofridilis, Neras, Tushkefridilisk. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. As we were praying, this thought came to me. I don't want to forget. So when you pray in the spirit, like we've been doing, the power of God is actually released from your spirit and it goes up into the will, the mind, the emotions, and then it percolates down into the physical body. And if you do with enough power, and that's why we groan, it goes into the air. And as we're praying, the Holy Spirit quickened this thought to me. And he said, tell the people, he said, when they pray, in their hearts, they should see my power flowing into their will. The human will, God made it free. So you have a right to use it as you like. But when you direct the power of God to your will by as an act of your own free will, then you cause your will to submit to the will of God when you pray. It's a great truth. That's what Jesus did in Gethsemane. He didn't want to go to the cross. He did not want to go to the cross. He said, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. But he knew the will of God. So as he prayed, he said, nevertheless, not as I will, but as I will. As the Bible says, he prayed with such earnestness that his sweat was like blood. Was power. Power. Power was emanating from his spirit into that will, and it brought the will down. You needed to. You need it daily. So then just pray. You know, pray with understanding. Say, Lord, my will. I submit it to the will of God. I choose to fear God. So the first prayer we pray every day, or should be praying every day, submit myself to the will of God, even when I don't feel like it. Then you pray in tongues. Pray in the spirit.
then the power of God will come. You know, that's how you keep humble. He said to me, he said, look at Solomon. See, with all his wisdom, with all the wisdom I gave him, because he applied the wisdom to houses and things and men servants and female servants and physical things. He said he did not apply the wisdom here. Very important. Apply the wisdom. Let it be in the heart. The first part of my prayer is me. Then when I'm okay, then I can then go out to others. The Lord bless you in Jesus' name.